I'm Dr. Gershon Beskin. I'm from Jerusalem. For the past 25 years, I founded and directed a joint Israeli-Palestinian public policy think tank called IPCRI, the Israel-Palestine Center for Research and Information, working to establish peace between Israel and the Palestinians on the basis of two states for two people. I think there has to be first a realization that both peoples who live in the Holy Land have a right to be there. This has to be a mutually recognized right. The formula for peace is well known. We've been negotiating for 20 years, and an Israeli-Palestinian agreement is almost on the table. What we need are courageous leaders who are willing to stand up and make tough decisions. Israel has to understand that it has to make compromises with the Palestinians that will allow the Palestinians to have a dignified life in an independent state next to Israel on 22% of the land between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. They have to recognize that Jerusalem is also an important city for the Palestinian people and for the Muslim world, and therefore Jerusalem has to be a shared capital of both the State of Israel and the State of Palestine. The Palestinians are going to have to realize that the Jews have a right in the Holy Land, that this is our historical heritage land, that we didn't just appear as an act of colonialism, that our roots are in this land for thousands of years, and that the right of return of Palestinian refugees is going to have to be primarily to the Palestinian state and not to Israel. These are very big compromises that both sides have to make. Of course, both sides have to understand that we don't resolve the problems through violence. Violence isn't going to help us, not us attacking them and not them attacking us, certainly not through terrorism attacking innocent civilians on both sides. And the two leaders are going to have to sit down for serious negotiations and work out an agreement, and the entire world will support them. I'm very glad that following the Obama visit to Israel, that this historic phone call took place between Prime Minister Netanyahu and Prime Minister Erdogan that set the path for reconciliation after three bad years of Turkish-Israeli relations. We know that the business community kept the relations going. There's more than $3.5 billion worth of trade between Israel and Turkey. Even during these bad times, Israeli tourists stopped coming to Turkey. There was a seizure of cooperation between the Turkish and Israeli military. This hopefully now will be repaired, and Turkey will be able to fulfill the important role that it could play as a mediator in the region. We remember that there were proximity talks that took place between Israel and Syria that took place here through the Turkish mediation. Maybe that's not possible today until the problems in Syria are resolved and we know what kind of regime emerges in Syria. But certainly I think that the Turkish government and Turkish people can play a role in building relations between the Israeli people and the Palestinian people and other Arabs people. I mentioned to you before we started the interview that Turkey is the one country in the world where Israeli citizens and Iranian citizens can come without needing a visa. Yeah. This is the natural place where Israelis who don't see Iran as an enemy, we have a problem with the Iranian regime, not with the Iranian people. And I think the same thing with the Iranian people don't have a problem with the Israeli people. They maybe have a problem with some of the Israeli policies, but I think it's time that we find ways for Israeli citizens and Iranian citizens to meet. Turkey is the natural place to do it, right here. If we remember historically after World War II, the European Union actually began out of an agreement on a need for steel and coal cooperation. It was the Steel and Coal Commission. The modern expression of steel and coal today is the environment, water, and energy. Maybe this is the place where we can begin with regional cooperation. I'll give you an example. The Gaza Strip, where 1.6 million Palestinians live, doesn't have water. 5% of the drinking water in Gaza is fit for human consumption today. We know that Turkey has the Manavgat River that spills into the sea. And more than 10 years ago, the Manavgat River Commission built a facility to be able to load water into super tankers and to bring it to Gaza. Maybe it's time to renew this project. We know that Israel is one of the leading countries in the world in renewable energy. Turkey had plans to build nuclear reactors. Maybe instead of nuclear reactors, we saw what happened in Japan. Maybe Turkey could be a leader in renewable energy. You have huge energy needs, and I know that Turkey has ambitious plans for renewable energy, both wind energy and solar energy. These are areas of cooperation, energy, the environment. This is one common environment. The Mediterranean is shared by all of us. We can't allow the Mediterranean to become a polluted bathtub. The Eastern Mediterranean is where all the pollution of the entire Mediterranean collects. We have to preserve this Mediterranean, this heritage of the civilizations that live along the Mediterranean. There's a lot of areas for cooperation, and of course, as you mentioned, the spiritual cooperation. Jews, Muslims, and Christians share the same roots. We're all children of Abraham. Right. Our Bible, our Torah, the New Testament, the Quran, all share common roots. They have the same stories in them, the same morals, the code of ethics that we all share comes from the same place. So there's a lot of room for understanding and cooperation, and it should take a place a lot more than hatred and killing and fear of each other. We have to open our doors, open our borders to trade and to visit and to understand. We have too many resources invested in the machines of war. And if we could invest even a part of those resources in the machines of peace, this could be the most ideal place in the world. And we have to be very concerned with what's happening in Egypt now. There's a danger that Egypt could become a failed state. The Egyptian economy is in a very difficult situation now in the post-revolutionary Egypt. Egypt hasn't found its balance yet. The society hasn't decided what it wants to be yet after they got rid of the Mubarak regime. And it's very shaky there. And there are a lot of extremists. There are a lot of radicals. There are Al-Qaeda groups there and other Salafi groups, which are very, very dangerous. They're dangerous to the Egyptian people, not only to the Jews and to the state of Israel. So I think that supporting Egypt in creating stability, in building their economy, in bringing tourism back to Egypt, would help Egypt be stable and be a partner in the region. We know that Egypt was one of the leading states over the past decades in working to secure the Middle East as a zone free of nuclear weapons. This was a very strong position of Egypt. And it's very important that our whole region be a region without weapons of mass destruction. We see the threat of chemical weapons in Syria today and the danger of those chemical weapons getting into the hands of terrorists. We need to eradicate all these dangerous weapons from the entire region. And Egypt is the largest Arab country, and it's important to have relations with the entire Arab world, the entire Islamic world, 56 countries of the Islamic Conference, 22 nations of the Arab League. We have an offer of the Arab Peace Initiative on the table since 2002, which the Arab League Conference last week in Doha ratified once again. This should be an opportunity as well to see how we resolve the bilateral problems between Israel and the Palestinians in the future between Israel and Syria, and open up the whole world for peaceful relations with the state of Israel, inshallah. I, as an Israeli, have been in Turkey more than 100 times. When I come to Turkey, I feel at home, and I feel the Turkish people are opening their arms to us, and I hope and pray that in the coming season, we will see more and more Israelis coming back to Turkey, and we'll see Turkish people coming to Israel to visit the Holy Land. I understand that one of the five pillars of Islam is Hajj, and the true Hajj is Mecca, Medina, Al-Quds.
Yes.
You're supposed to complete the Hajj by visiting Al-Quds. So I invite all the Turkish people to go on Hajj and to complete their Hajj by visiting our holy city of Jerusalem.